we continue our discussion about this Kevada Sutra. This is the part 3. So in part 1 we discuss the virtue part, and then the restraint, sense restraint. And then in the part 2 we discuss about the mindfulness and alertness to the first jhana concentration. So in the first jhana concentration you can see that we have this initial application and sustained application. So we direct our mind for getting rid of the sensual thoughts, evil thoughts, and that is thought of renunciation, thought of non-malevolence and thought of non-harming. And by doing that one, we attain first jhana concentration. And we also discuss a diagram about the aging. So it's like the how our mind works like a machine. And so today we start with the second jhana concentration. So even for the first jhana concentration, one can apply this, for example, the mindfulness regarding body. So one would be going through, for example, 32 parts of the body, kayagata sati, the hair of the body, nails, teeth and so on, and contemplate about these 32 parts, and then one can attain this up to fourth jhana. So here, further with the stilling of direct thoughts and evaluation, he enters and remains in the second jhana. Rapture and pleasure born of composure. Unification of awareness free from directed thought and evaluation. Internal assurance. He permeates and pervades, suffuses and fills this very body with the rapture and pleasure born of composure. Just like a lake with spring water welling up from within, having no inflow from the east, west, north or south, and with the sky's sublime abandon showers time and time, so that the cool fount of water welling up from within the lake would permeate and pervade, suffuse and fill it with cool waters, there be no part of the lake unpervaded by the cool waters. Even so, the monk permeates this very body with the rapture and pleasure born of composure. There is nothing of his entire body unpervaded by rapture and pleasure born of composure. So here we are stilling the initial application and sustained application. Here in the first jhana level, you would keep on applying that to these 32 parts of the body. That I want to get rid of this renunciation, this thought, I want to have the thought of renunciation and so on. And in the second jhana concentration, there you feel that you don't need this initial application and sustained application, because you consider that one as gross. Gross in the sense that I have to keep on doing that one to arrive at this first jhana level so that I can have the rapture. So you would like rapture to be produced and be in the second jhana concentration rather than in the first jhana concentration. So so that is by practicing. You see that even the 32 parts of the body, one would keep on contemplating, then you remember these 32 parts, and then you become skilled in doing this, and probably at once you can go through these 32 parts very quickly, and you understand these parts thoroughly, you know. So therefore I don't need to apply the hair of the body and all those things, so that I can still my mind from that.
Is that you don't have to read about this, isn't it? I mean, you don't have to say within your mind that if you can figure out where the things are.
Well, not
right?
Only things, where the things are, it's just like it has many stages, and in latter stages you can actually see, you see these objects within yourself, your bones, the skin with the inside, the all those things as well. So that's a very high level. Mm-hmm. And before that level, that previously I had to think about this, my hair, others' hair, and so on. And now I don't have to apply that much, because when it's hair come to my mind, then it is there. So once I have done it in the first jhana concentration, it's like that the wheels are now rolling, that I don't need to have anything else. So that's sort of a concentration. It's mind produces the rapture without you keep on applying it. That's the idea here. So you can see that the example that the Buddha said, that the welling up from within the lake, it is coming from the bottom, you know, of the lake, not from the other side. There's no inflow from the east, west, north. It's not, the water is not coming to the pond from the all the sides. It's coming from within, because you have done it before, you have produced it. It is happening. And this too is called the miracle of instruction. And furthermore, with the fading of rapture, he remains equanimous, mindful and alert, and senses pleasure with the body. He enters and remains in the third jhana, of which the noble ones declare equanimous means and mindful, he has a pleasant abiding. He permeates and pervades, suffuses and fills this very body with the pleasure divested of rapture. Just as in a lotus pond, some of the lotuses born and growing in the water stay immersed in the water and flourish without standing up out of the water, so that they are permeated and pervaded, suffused and filled with the cool water from their roots to their tips, and nothing of those lotuses would be unpervaded with cool water. Even so, the monk permeates this very body with the pleasure divested of rapture. There is nothing of this entire body pervaded with pleasure, divested of rapture. So, in the third jhana concentration, he had the initial application and sustained application in the first jhana. And then he got out of the initial application and sustained application, and he has got the second jhana concentration, and the rapture is there, and he is happy. Now the problem with the rapture is that you can cling to that one. There is a tendency, a bit of a tendency. It's not like that lust sort of thing. There is this, I like it. And so, but it is sort of troubling you in a sense that if you want to keep on meditating and applying, and if you want to, if something, because rapture is starting from the head and it is flowing through. It's like a water flowing or something, right? And it is sort of disturbing. In the sense, for the person who wants to go further in the stream, it is and your body can become tired as well, because there's a chemical reaction or something over here. Neurons are firing, and so you would like not to have the rapture, not to have that sort of thing, and have the pleasure. So. Because of your thinking that rapture can lead to clinging, that I don't want to do that, so you fade away rapture and go into the third jhana concentration, then this one is with pleasure. So you have the mind, and pleasurable feeling is there. So Buddha gave that lotus example, where the lotus, that leaf is covered by that water, touching ones, like that.
So, natural.
The pleasure is good compared to the rapture, because the rapture is no longer there, and rapture was ceased, but the pleasure remains. Pleasure out of this thing, so that the chemical reaction that was there in the rapture level, in the second jhana level, is now sort of stopped. So there is an inward happiness. And so Then, so this too is called the miracle of instruction. And furthermore, with the abandoning of pleasure and stress, as with the earlier disappearance of elation and distress, he enters and remains in the fourth jhana, purity of equanimity and mindfulness, neither pleasure nor stress. He sits permeating the body with a pure bright awareness, just as if a man was sitting covered from head to foot with a white cloth, so that there would be no part of his body to which the white cloth did not extend. Even so, the monk sits permeating the body with pure bright awareness. There is nothing of his entire body unpervaded by pure bright awareness. This too is called the miracle of instruction. So, you can see in the first jhana, before the first jhana, let's say I am sitting down, I might have a pain from the, my body touching some, you know, some sort of a hard stool or something. You might have a bit of a pain. When you have the rapture, that pain ceases, now the rapture takes over. In other words, that I'm not paying any attention, you know, where my back is, you know, touching, but I have the pleasure, rapture over here, so my mind moves over here. Now I have the focus to that rapture. So therefore, I don't, even it is there, I don't feel it.
So when you are in that state, you won't feel bodily pain?
You don't feel the bodily pain. Yeah. So
because
you
your attention is in a different scenario type thing.
That's right. Yeah. You are in the rapture state, so my mind is always over there. So we got rid of the dukkha or the pain by the first jhana, right? And then we went to the second jhana, where there is this initial application and sustained application was there in the first one, and I don't have that one, but there is rapture and I remain in that state. And then when I go into the third jhana concentration, where I have the pleasure and there is no rapture. So now I have something called sukha. So there is this somanasa, that is this mental happiness. Now I want to get rid of this one as well. What is wrong with this somanasa thing that if I see that I have, let's say, happiness as the word, if I see something as happy, what Buddha said in the first noble truth, that noble truth of suffering. If it is actually suffering, what I feel at that particular time is the cessation of that suffering temporarily. It's only a temporary cessation of suspending that one, then I call it as this pleasure or happiness or whatever thing is at the jhana level. And then I understand that this one, since it is temporary, what is there is suffering, then this one can come, that can come now, you know, come in the next moment and so on. Since I think in that way, so I have the equanimity, I am thinking, I am becoming indifferent to the pleasure that has arisen. So I am indifferent because I know that next moment it can stop or something. So then one would go into the fourth jhana level.
So that means you should be skillful to get the Dhamma when you go to that state.
Exactly. Otherwise you can't. You just stay stuck in there because the third jhana level is so pleasurable, so happy. And then you feel like staying there. And so you need to know that, yes, this is impermanent. And my mind is not stable yet. And so you go into the fourth jhana level. So, having reached that fourth jhana level, there is this pure and bright awareness. Like Buddha said, it's a white cloth, a man covered with complete white clothes from the top to the bottom. No parts of his body is covered by, not covered by that white cloth. So, this too called the miracle of instruction. And here, you could be doing this meditation. Maybe the 32 parts of the body. You will keep on applying and then you went to this particular stage and then you have the light and visions. You can actually see these parts of the body, you know, in that sense. And because your concentration level is very high and you see these parts, then you can see that you can go into the insight knowledge over here. So the jnana dasana chittam, with his mind thus concentrated, purified and bright, unblemished, free from defects, pliant, malleable, steady and attained to imperturbability, he directs and inclines it to knowledge and vision. So there is a bit of a step over here. Buddha said that the attain to imperturbability. Buddha used that word to get into this inside thing. So in up to the fourth jhana level, that you got the imperturbability level, but you should be sort of a skillful in that state. But there is a discourse for us to go into that imperturbability level. It's in the middle essay, in third book. It's called Anenja Sappaya Sutta. That is this discourse on beneficial imperturbability. We are not going to discuss the whole discourse, but we'll discuss at least one paragraph of it. Anenja Sappaya Sutta, 106th discourse. So Buddha said, impermanent monks are the pleasures of the senses. Hollow, lying means tuccha over here, the word tuccha, that means empty of the essence of permanence, of stability, that's what it is. Of the nature of falsehood, this chatter of fools, it was made by a person, a fool, foolish person, and just telling about maybe a body, about somebody else's body part in talking about it, and fools this chattering heard by someone, and so that he is actually thinking that this is good, and maybe about a food, some sort of a food, or this is really tasty, this is good, and so on. So other people, is that so? And they want to go and buy it from the supermarket, take it home, and cook it and eat. So that's how it is. And then probably he would actually feel, I don't think that this is tasty, this is not right. It is happening to us all the time, right? And this is happening from the chatter of the fool. And monks is made of illusion. Mayakata metang, it's just from the illusion. Those pleasures of the senses that are here and now, and those pleasures of the senses that are hereafter. And that means in this birth, what I perceive now, and in the future, in the future births, or future time. And those perception of pleasures of the senses that are here and now, and those perception of pleasures of the senses that are hereafter. So now Buddha is talking about perception. Previously Buddha is talking about the pleasures of the senses. So you can see there's this thought. I have the thought that this is pleasurable. And then I have perception that this is pleasurable. So there are two distinct. So there are four things over here. Perception of the pleasures of the senses here and now. And the perception of the pleasures of the senses that are hereafter for the future. Both are Mara Sralam. The evil ones. What are we talking about here? Pleasures of the senses. Whether it's a perception or not, they are Mara Sralam. That this is Mara's spear, this is Mara's crop, his bait, what he give you, right? Gives you. This is Mara's range, it is within his range. Because we do have the range of the eye, right? So we can see certain objects from that one. Whatever we see from our eye and the range, well, it becomes the range of the Mara. Whatever the gratification that we have hold for whatever the object in our eyes range, it is under Mara's domain. It is under the Mara's range. So that is what it means by Mara's range.
So when we run from sensual pain, I remember the Buddha saying that if someone is cutting your arm off with a sword, then you should be imperturbable about that as well.
Yes, Buddha can be, yes. Yeah. He can't, yes.
So is wanting sensual pleasure and wanting to run from sensual pain the same thing?
Well, yeah, when you have the pain, well, it is worse. When you have the pain, it is worse. Yeah. Because when you won't have the pain, what you are wishing for is the cessation of that one. To do that, what you normal worldlings do, he seeks delight in sense pleasures. So he gets two problems. First is the pain, therefore he's angry and he's beating his breast and so on. And since he is looking for the sense pleasures to get rid of the pain, because he does not know I can go into jhana concentration and get rid of it, so he is looking for sense pleasures, then this the attachment, all those things will grow, so he get two problems. So it's not the same, because it's worse. And here, these evil, unskilled intentions conduce to covetousness, lobha, abhijja, actually the word is abhijja, and ill will, and destruction. Destruction is that you might be remember last time we discussed that those four wheels of the car, you know, running behind and has got this parusavacha, the harsh speech, frivolous talks and so on. So those bad things are actually creating harming for others. And these create stumbling block here in the training of an RN disciple who want to train in the, you know, the RN way. And these stumbling blocks, because these three are creating these problems. As to these monks, an RN disciple reflects thus. Those pleasures of the senses that are here and now create stumbling block here in the training of an RN disciple. Suppose I were to abide with thought that is far-reaching, widespread, with a determined mind, having overcome the world. So the word is having determined, with a determined mind, having overcome the world of the five senses, or you can have six senses, i.e. nose, tongue, body and the mind. So I don't want this world, the world of the five senses especially. That these are the sensual ones, and I want to overcome that one, because it's maras. Whatever thing I actually grab from those things coming under the maras domain, maras range, I want to get rid of these things. I want to go beyond that one. How do I go beyond that one? The Pali word is really good. Abhibhuya lokam adittaya manasa. That means I want to exceed this sensual pleasure world. I have determined my mind that I don't want this one, I want to get out of this one. Remember that we had a pyramid as well in that diagram, so I don't want to be inside that pyramid, I want to get out of the pyramid and live out of that one. So what is that out of that one? I will make my world the thought of renunciation world, not the sensual world. Let me have the thought of non-harming world. Let me have the thought of non-malevolence world. What are we talking about? This, for example, wherever the world that has got the seven factors of enlightenment, let I be there. Not let me be in the Mara's realm, Mara's sphere. So he make up his mind, determination. Now when we come to the determination, so when he actually do that one, that is, you first made up your mind, I wanted to be there. And Buddha said, for if I abide with my thoughts far-reaching, widespread, with my mind determined, having overcome the world, these that are unskilled evil intentions, covetousness, ill will and destruction, will not come to be. And by my getting rid of these, my thought will not be limited, immeasurable, well-developed. While he is faring alone thus, abiding, given over to this, his thought is peaceful in its sphere. If he is serene, either he come to imperturbability now, or he intent on wisdom. Either he wants the wisdom, or he have this fourth jhana and above levels from that one, by doing that one. At this breaking of the body, after dying, this situation exists, that the evolving consciousness may accordingly reach imperturbability, so he may go into this the Brahma world. This monk is pointed to at the first cause in beneficial imperturbability. So this is the first. What is the first thing? For me to determine that I don't want to be in the sense sphere world. I want to get out of this one. I will be want to be in the world beyond Mara, beyond these sense things. That's where this diagram comes and plays its part. I have constructed this one in a bit of a rush. And you can see, first we talk about the determinations, right? So what are the determinations? The best determination are those four circles in the middle. Determination for truth. Determination for relinquishment. The determination for truth is Satchadittana. Determination for relinquishment is Chagadittana. And the determination for wisdom is Panyadittana. I want the wisdom. Determination for calm is Upasamadittana. You can see these ones are mentioned in the Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta. We discussed this Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta some times ago. And over here, Buddha said that one should have, person has these four determinations. And Buddha said that basically a monk meditating, you know,
is the one that is you come to the renunciation things when you get rid of the mundane things?
Yeah, this is by going, there are six elements. The element of extension, element of cohesion, element of motion, and element of heat, apute, jo, ayu, patavi. And then there is this space element, and the consciousness is infinite element. So with your intuitive wisdom, one would be thinking that these, let's say we meditate on the 32 parts of the body, and then we see in that 32 parts of the body, that whatever this hard, hair of the body, nails, those things, that those 20 belong to element of extension. And whatever the element of extension here, internal, whatever the element of extension, external, both are the element of extension. This, that is, I have hair over here, which I regards in high regards, and there is the hair outside on the floor, and which I want to get rid of, which I don't cling, right? So, having thought about it, one would see that this hair on the floor is not mine, and similarly, this is not mine. So, apply the intuitive wisdom that this is not mine. And then you apply, again you went through the 32 parts of the body. And then you see that whatever the 32 parts, what are the hard things, you get rid of that one. And then you see the element of cohesion, I have liquids, I have urine, and I have blood, and all those things, saliva. So those things are, you know, disgusting things, and they are outside as well. As I am not regarding the outside ones, I am not regarding the inside one. As I am not regarding the inside ones as mine, I am not regarding the outside ones as mine. So he cleanses his mind, getting rid of that one. So by doing that one, he reached this what is called Prajnadhisthana, wisdom. And whatever thing he is going to those imperturbable levels, he is disregarding them as not as mine, removing them.
This determinations, Prajnadhisthana comes first when we read that part.
Yes.
And here it has gone to 30 days. And so is there any reason for that?
Yes, because although Buddha said this one is said in short. These middle steps are missing in that. Okay. Because Buddha said that he is eliminating these things. So that's how he attained the concentration. What he said to attain that one, he said these things are not mine. He applied the wisdom and he said these are not mine. What that means? Chagadittana. That is the first circle over here. Second circle. Determination for relinquishment. I don't want them. These are not mine. This hair of the body, these things are not mine. So I'm not clinging to that one. So I'm happy to give up. Otherwise I would do many treatments to this body, right? And I'm not actually, I'm not looking for food that make me so beautiful. I just eat to live. That's all. And so the Chagadhisthana comes first to go into the Prajnadhisthana. look at the diagram. This one start with gatha. Gatha that appear in three different places. This one appear in Mahaparinibbana Sutta. This gatha. Dadato punyam pavadati. That's the first one. So that means by giving merit grows. What that mean? We know that when we give, the merit grows. Giving alms to the monks and sort of thing. This has got so many explanations in Petakopadesa. And one great thing over there is that you are actually giving life to the other beings in the sense of not killing. When that is a bigger one. If you are not killing, you are refraining from killing means that the creature to be killed was given the life. It's a very big thing. What does that mean? That means we are refraining from killing. So you can see that is one of the givings. And you can actually give alms, you can give dhamma and all those things. They all count over here. So dadato punyam pavartati. And so the person who is giving is also getting rid of the what is called machirya, stinginess. If he is stingy for that the creature's body, then he can't do that. And if you are giving some food to monks or whoever, you got to give out the stinginess for the food. Remember, if you remember the last time diagram, it is in the middle that manchiriya is their stinginess. So because of that, you are actually giving up in that way, that leads to the chagadhitana, called the determination for relinquishment. I am happy to give up these things. I am happy to give up the hair and you know, all those things, that unnecessary things, you are happy. And that one directly link, it become a condition, you know, the hetu pach, so with the avidya pachya sankara, like that one, this is a dependent origination again over here. That chaga adhittana, determination for relinquishment, is a condition for having no risk. The English translation is not that good over here. It's something like no hatred is stored for one restraint, if you are going to translate it. Sanghimato veram na chiyati. So veram, vaira. If you have this restraint.
Na chiyati?
Na chiyati. Na chiyati.
Veram means vaira, isn't it?
Vaira, yeah. So that means, see, I'm not killing now. I have to give up. I have to give up my stinginess. Therefore, I'm not fighting with my neighbor, or I'm not fighting with anyone else for that matter. You know, I'm good in that sense. And to have that one, there is a cause as well. This is the condition, cause which I have not written there. If you want, you can write down in a bit of a box below that that green thing, that the cause for getting that samyamato, that is the no risk, is stored for the restraint, is the wise attention. Yoniso manasikara. If you have wise attention, the underneath that one, yeah, there should be a box. So the wise attention or the yoniso manasikara is the cause for me to have this the restraint. It makes sense. Because I know if I don't have this sense restraint, then I would go for those objects and I'm not going to give up anything. I'm going to grab them. So because of that one, then next one lead to the determination for wisdom. Now I am happy to give up that prajnadhisthana. I am happy to give up. These things are not mine. I have to apply my wisdom. Because when I am grabbing something, I can't give it up.
Can you please repeat about that no risk is stored for one restraint?
Yes, so that one is, that's in Pali, samyamato veram na chiyati. So that means you are restraining all of your eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and all those senses. So, since you are happy to give up the stinginess for things, and you also have not killing, stealing, that sort of thing, that leads to sort of a calmness within you, that I can restrain my eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and the mind.
Helpful
to do that one, yes. Because while I am grabbing, I can't actually say that I can restrain. I cannot restrain because I'm very greedy for something. So, but having given up the greediness, I'm sort of well above because of the view that I there are two things for me to think about a sensual object. One thing is, as soon as I see it, it attracts my mind and bind to it, so therefore I am holding to it. Sometimes I know Buddha said this is bad, but I have not understood it yet. Therefore I have the view, the wrong view, that this is okay, although Buddha said. So because my wrong view is actually pushing me and go and think about it. So there are two attacks over here. One is that the object has got some sort of a characteristic, a color, a shape or something, or taste that I, because I have done it before. So now I know, I feel like eating this one, and I might have heard it from the Buddha, you know, that clinging to this one is bad, but my mind still go, I can't actually stop it, because my wrong view, because I have not achieved the right view. So therefore I can't restrain.
Is it because of the wrong view, or the effort is not enough? You know that.
It is the wrong view. It is the wrong view. If you should have the effort to give up the wrong view. So the effort is not enough means the effort is two steps before the view. View is the first one that comes in. Remember Mahachattarika Sutra? It's the view comes first. And the effort should be there to give it up. So indolence is coming back because you are repeatedly subject to the sensual pleasure. Therefore, I do not have any effort to give it up. So but the view is, yes.
The bodily urges also there.
Bodily urges, how it was created. Bodily urge was created because I had the view in the first place that this is mine. Therefore, go for it. If you don't have, then that the view is broken. That's why Buddha wants us to get the view broken first.
So we can do this in very small things, can't we? So any sense pleasure, something like, you know, I look at that door and it's got some nice patterns on it, and I like looking at the patterns, and it's not that I want to grab the door and take it home, it's just that I cling to looking at nice patterns because it gives me sense pleasure.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's, yeah.
And what
it's
is that?
Like looking at the door.
Yeah, and if you think a little bit further, it is your back wheel that you are running. Remember the machine we were thinking about last time? It's completely samprapalapa, you know, the frivolous talk. The pattern is just a picture. It's a ink on a piece of paper or something, right? Or some sort of a thing done from a knife or something. And thinking about it, you can see, it's just a useless thing. So our back wheels are running, and therefore you are just thinking about it.
I think it is it's because of a, it's like a mess. I mean, it's a, like because of other sensual pleasures, we get the things that we see or eat or smell or whatever, because of the other sensual pleasures, we take more sensual pleasures because of that. Say, we do have a house, that's why we look at this door, and see, this door is good, this pattern is good, isn't it?
Otherwise, if I am a Brahma, I'm not living in a house,
yeah.
therefore I don't care about this one at all. So it is for our existence. Mm-hmm. That's what you are trying to say. For the existence that I have acquired these things and I think that they are useful and valuable and so on.
See, when I'm correct, the Buddha advises us to, you know, if you see an object with the eye, see it, that's an object. That's all.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Okay. If, that helps us to restrain ourselves.
Yes. If you just see that object as object,
yes.
nothing else, then you need to apply the mind that it is not mine. So that the two get that view broken.
So we're aware that this is an object and also that this object is impermanent and that my perception of it is also anatta, it's also not myself.
That's right.
And also that it leads to dukkha.
It is impermanent.
Yeah.
Whatever thing is impermanent is subject to suffering and change. Whatever the thing subject to suffering and change, is it befitting for me to regard that one as mine? If it is not if it is permanent, you can regard anything as yours, no problem. Because it is impermanent, it will lead into suffering. Whatever the object is, whether it lasts for 84,000 eons, like the eighth jhana level, that particular form, but it is impermanent. So therefore we should be thinking that it is not mine.
So in this case, what he said about this door, that's the feeling and the perception you got is the impermanent, isn't it there?
Impermanent, suffering, not self,
yeah.
all are there. Yeah. So it's not stopping from one.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually see that it is impermanent, that is good enough. If you are looking at it and thoroughly see it as impermanent, because normally a person does not see it as an impermanent thoroughly. It is, even for a stream enterer, he has to keep on applying it.
Mm-hmm.
Only the arahant got it completely under control. They see it as impermanent as soon as you see it. The others, even the trainee, applies it. So the worldlings also apply it. So the resulting, you know, it has got stages. The worldling person who has developed to a certain level, he gets its benefits. And a person who has been doing for a long, long time, he doesn't even try to apply because he look at it, all the things he has done before comes to his mind and good enough for him to walk away from that door, not thinking, this is not mine, it's there. So, it is completely the application of this wise attention again and again to the level you reach these things, you know, get rid of these things.
So if you practice doing it, you are not carrying it to me.
That's right, because you are cutting down at that particular time, you are not adding anything to your box. You know that if I have a box, I eat hoppers and I put a dollar over there, and you know, if I get this beautiful pattern, then now yeah, it is beautiful. So I am actually adding 50 cents or whatever thing it is. Now you are emptying it. You are not filling it up. So because of this determination for wisdom, then we get this. He who is killed abandons evil things. Kusalocha jahati papakam. Kusalo means who he is killed. Jahati, that means abandons. Papakam, evil things. It's a one small gatha that do this all those things. So you can see the whole Buddhism is here in one gatha from Buddha. And so, for that one, the condition for having that one, you see, between the determination for wisdom and then the box that he who is killed, abandoned evil things, I would mark that line with this, the yathabhuta jnana, dasana. Or that means, in the sense it is, it's said in the Petapopadesa, it is this, you know, the things to be seen as really it is, It is what is called Yathabhuta Jnana Dasana. So that one is the condition.
Can you please repeat that, the meaning of Yathabhuta Jnana Dasana?
To see things really as it is. And that one, now see, it is going, leading back to the determination for truth again. That only going back to the determination for truth. So it is so here. It's from here, from the determination for wisdom, this line.
This line, isn't it?
Yes, that line. So that one going to the determination for truth. That is Satchaditthana. And while it reaches over there, carefully notice that it is touching that the middle circle. That is the determination for relinquishment. I am happy to give up. Now with the wisdom, having got that one, remember we discussed little while ago that when I have some sort of sensual thing, and it is features and signs grabbing my eye. And although I heard before from the Buddha that this is bad for you, but I still feel like thinking about it because of my view, my wrong view. Now I have the right view. Because of my right view, when I'm coming from over here, I can now give up. Whatever the signs and features that particular object got, I'm strong enough. It is not I'm attacking by two things. I'm attachment from the only the signs, but I'm strong enough to give it up. So you can see it is touching this one. And again, this is from the great Brahma Sahampati that asked me to draw it this way. So we get the determination of truth. Now, you can see this diagram has got, we start with this gatha, but there is something else. The painful way with sluggish acquaintanceship, that means dukkha patipada danda abhinya. Remember dukkha patipada danda abhinya, that is that we have this, the five things in the dukkha patipada danda abhinya, where we are applying. One would be contemplating about the foul nature of the food, ahara patikulata sanya, and then the 32 parts of the body, and also the sabbaloke anabirata sanya, so that you get rid of this whatever the worlding things about this eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind, and the sabbasankaresu anicca sanya, the impermanent nature of the old formations, and then you have the death, the perception of death thoroughly established in your mind. So that one leads to this one as well. So that's where we actually started this discourse. See, the have virtue. Buddha said that for the monk to have the virtue first, right? That is the first part of the discourse. And then restrain your senses and things. And now you are doing the meditation. You are disregarding these things as mine, and you are doing your meditation, and you are applying now 32 parts of the body and so on, thoroughly establishing your mind. So when we get this determination for truth, that this one is a condition for the next gatha, the gatha's the fourth word, statement. That is raga dosa mohakya sa nibbutoti. With the exhaustion of lust, hate, delusion, he attains complete extinction. So that is the last one. What I saw by the determination of truth, I have skipped many steps over here because you can't fit into this thing. So there are 10 Dhamma parts that is coming from this painful way with sluggish acquaintanceship, that is dukkha patipada danda abhinya. So the determination of truth is the sixth one in that. And before that one, you actually have seen the first noble truth. But if I quickly run through that, that the with this Dukkha Patipada Danda Vinya, then you get the first jhana, and then because of the first jhana, there is this first foundation of mindfulness about the body, and then therefore you have the first is what is called Dibba Vihara, that divine abiding, and that means you have first, second, third, fourth, one of those jhana concentrations. And then you put the effort that I want to get rid of this sensual desire and all those things. I don't want to have these things. I don't want to have the ill will. I don't want to have the harming. So therefore you reach the level of this seeing this first, is called first Pratama Acharya Adbhuta Dharma. That means that the first noble truth. From the first noble truth you see this the first determination called this Satcha Dittana. That means the Nibbana is the highest aryan truth. Anything else is Musa, Musa Dharma. So because of this you reach that the complete destruction for the Raga Dosa Moha Sa Nibbutoti, that I want to get rid of this lust, hate, delusion and so on. And so that will lead to the calmness. The determination for calms, that is the fourth determination. So these are the determinations. What these determinations do, you can see that the slander, lying, harsh speech which are around that circle, and then frivolous talks, all got rid of. So I am very calm because that I am not angry anymore, I am not shouting at anybody, and my mind is internally calm. Remember the back wheels that we discussed last time? Those wheels are not spinning anymore. So I am calm internally.
Yes, so these determinations don't have a sequential order, right?
They are coming from the sequential order. See that the sequential order is the way it arrow is leading. The first you have the determination for relinquishment and the determination for wisdom next. And then you get the determination for truth and the fourth one is called the determination for calm. They are in that those four paths, Patipada. So from the first one, first direction, they are called the first profitable direction, from the first profitable direction to the second profitable direction.
So did you have the first determination about these five or six concentrations? Don't you attain there? Like when you have Ahari, Patikula, Sanya and also...
You would not necessarily lead to the determination of truth exactly, because you know the view part that you need to cut. You are actually running through this circle for number of times to arrive at that one. That's what it is. So you can't just going through the first Patipada itself will reach that determination for truth. It is you need to go through the third one. First one and the third one couple together in that way. And then the third one and the second one is coupled together. So that's how it is.
This determination of calmness, is it wrong to interpret as determination for Nibbana as well?
Yes, Upasamadhitthana, eventually you reach from that determination from calm, is the one leading to the Nibbana. Because that means by that time you have reached the bottom of that eightfold path. Right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness. Now you are with the right concentration with those seven factors in it. So your mind is so strong and you don't have that lousy thing about, you know, that person did that bad thing, this person this bad thing, all are gone. The back wheels are not spinning at all. The front wheels are gone as well because you are not pulling in any of the directions.
So in this case, everything starts by dana. Because...
Yes. Dana is that the Dhamma discourse is a dana. Not killing is a dana. The main thing is the not killing. So you can see Panatipata Viramani, how important it is. That's where you start in this thing. You know, the whole discourse says that you start with that one at the beginning. Monk restrained from that one. And the householder restrained from that one. So you need to give up that one first to go into that one. And in the Eightfold Path, it working the other way around, because you have established it that one before. Now I am not thinking about harming anyone. Therefore I am not having this harsh speech, frivolous talks and things. So my mind is calm, and therefore I can restrain completely killing. I don't want to kill at all, because I am actually disgusted about this this thing. I'm ashamed of doing bad things. So it's coming from Shraddha.
And also these four lines here.
Yeah, they are coming from the Pachipada. Yeah. So you can see there are four good things that we discuss in that Canberra the meditation thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are the four things. They are the starting points that one would do.
Mm. Here in this diagram, we predominantly discuss about the Dado Punyam Gata.
Mm-hmm.
And is it by chance, or it is basically designed for this one?
Well, the effect of that one is this. Yes. I think the Buddha said this one in his mind. When he said that one, he having known what it means, Buddha said. So now that Gata itself speak for the whole thing. Otherwise, just by giving, one would think, how would you actually attain this the whole ending of this?
Yes. It's like the similar way that Lord Buddha said to that Bahiya,
Dittimatang.
The whole thing is there. It's only two, three words.
That's right. Yes, because Buddha said, Buddha said.
Yeah, if you are wise to analyze that, you would attain.
It is Mahakachana, Venerable Mahakachana, Arahant, who analyzed this one in this way. This, you know, the Brahma Sahampati did, he helped me to lay these things in this order. You see, the two on the top and the two on the bottom, what are the middle ones? You know, that these links are mentioned in the Petakopadesa itself. That from this one this comes, from this one this comes.
It is very hard to figure it out.
Very hard to put it.
And
you can say this is my third diagram. Try to do it myself. If you look at my first diagram, you will go crazy. It's not easy to, although this is laid out in color for you, it was not easy to do that. You got to have a great wisdom to say where it fits. And so we are fortunate in that regard. So,
this Tyagata, Abhisthana, and determination to anything that you give up, isn't it? It's the feeling that comes to your mind, or a perception that comes to your mind, whatever the time that you are for an example, if there is a food that you feel like to eat it, if you give up that feeling at that time, that means you get one of the
benefits out of that. That's feeling. Right, yeah. So you then you train your mind not to grab things. You know, I'm happy to give up. Now your mind also getting used to that one. I'm happy to do that one. I'm happy to give up this one, and so on. So it becomes practice. For the mind, it does not need those crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
From the Maras, you know, from his domain. Because we trained, because somebody, and Buddha said, remember that in that discourse, Buddha says is Bala Lapana, that is from that some stupid person said something, and we went and tasted it. Even when the world get destroyed, and when it formed, those beings who went from this world to the Abhasar Brahma realm, then they came back after when the world was formed, and they, by that time there was no sun and moon, right? And they have their own lights, because they are the second jhana level people. And there was a water, there's a bit of a, there was water on the crust, and there was some sort of savory thing was formed. One greedy person wanted to touch it. And he touched it and tasted it. And then he tell others, this is tasty. So then others started tasting it. So then their body became coarse, and their light disappeared, sun and moon was born, and that's how it happened. This one crazy person can do this thing.
Yeah, you can see that if he try to gossip in a place that somebody gossip, that you may go to that place at the beginning that with a pure mind, but you come up with the dirty things after that.
It is. Yes. So let's go back to the discussion. The inside knowledge, with this mind thus concentrated, purified and bright, unblemished, free from defects, pliant, malleable, steady and attained to imperturbability, he directs and inclines it to knowledge and vision. He discerns this body of mind is endowed with form, composed of the four primary elements, born from mother and father, nourished with rice and porridge, subject to change, inconstancy, rubbing, pressing, dissolution and dispersion. So you can see that it is impermanent. So we have to use sense, because it is smelly, our body is smelly, so we have to use sense. And pressing, because that you have some sort of a illness, so you need to, you know, rub it and massage it and so on, right? Or applying oil and things like that. And dissolution, still it breaks. The body breaks. Whatever thing you do, you feed and you apply oil and all those things, it still breaks. And dispersion, that it becomes scatter. You know, that after death you can see what will happen. And while you are living, even you hit your leg into something and broken, pass born, like that. So he now see these things when his concentration. And this consciousness of mind is supported here and born up here. Just as if there were beautiful beryl gem of the purest water, 8-faced, well-polished, clear, limpid, consummating all its aspect, and going through the middle of it was a blue, yellow, red, white or brown thread. So, and a man with good eyesight, taking it in his hand, go to reflect on it. Thus, this is a beautiful beryl gem of the purest water, 8-faced, well-polished, clear, limpid, consummate in all its aspects, and this going through the middle of its blue, yellow, red, white or brown thread. See, the gem, through the gem, there is this something. So, my mind is so pure, but there's some bad thing, you know, over here, this is the body. So he see that one. And unblemished, free from defects, pliant, malleable, steady and attained to imperturbability. The monk directs and inclines it to knowledge and vision. He discerns this body of mind is endowed with form, composed of the four primary elements, born from mother and father, nourished with rice and porridge, subject to change, rubbing, pressing, dissolution and dispersion. And this consciousness of mind is supported here and bound up here. So he sees that.
Can you please explain the sense
about the color? Well, I suppose I'm not sort of expert in those gem thing, but I think that if you have the gem, that there is a line go through it, I don't think it has got a value.
It's compared to the gem.
The beryl gem is, they are saying that one is the best out of those gems. But there is this some sort of a line, you know, that they say this is a defect or something. But my mind is sort of pure, so that it's compared to the pure one. But inside that one, there is this line, that is this body.
It's compared to the mind. The
beryl gem is compared to the mind, and the line, I suppose, compared to the body. The defects,
defilements
and this, because this because I have to, it is impermanent. The one thing is that actually I have to apply senses smelly, and I have to do the pressing, rubbing, and still it breaks. So.
How about this reminder of the pyramid? The ray of light. Light comes, then it goes to the pyramid.
Now here we are talking about this mind is pure mind after going through this path, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And so that is why it is gem.
Yeah.
But still we have a body which has some sort of
impermanent things and that one, yeah.
Which is, now here we call that as life, which is defect.
Defects, yeah. That's my understanding, because I don't know much about gem, you know, gems, how they make it valuable. And then this too is called a miracle of instruction. And then the mind-made body. With his mind thus concentrated, purified and bright, unblemished, free from defects, pliant, malleable, steady, and attained to imperturbability, he directs and inclines into creating a mind-made body. From this body he creates another body, endowed with form, made of the mind, complete in all its parts, not inferior in its faculties, just as if a man were to draw a reed from the sheath. The thought would occur to him, this is the sheath, this is the reed. The sheath is one thing, the reed is another. But the reed has been drawn out from the sheath. Or as if a man were to draw a sword from its scabbard, the thought would occur to him, this is the sword, this is the scabbard. The sword is one thing, the scabbard another. But the sword has drawn out from the scabbard. Or if a man to pull a snake out from its slough, the thought would occur to him, this is the snake, this is the slough. The snake is one thing, the slough is another. But the snake has pulled out of the slough. In the same way, with his mind thus concentrated, purified and bright, unblemished, free from defects, pliant, malleable, steady, and attain imperturbability, the monk directs and inclines into creating a mind-made body. From this body he creates another body, endowed with this form, mind made of the mind, completing all its parts, not inferior in its faculties. This too is called the miracle of instruction. So here you can see that how to make a mind-made body. The recipe for the mind-made body is given over here. So from first you go into that jhana concentration, the fourth jhana concentration, imperturbability level. So you are over here with this diagram, using this diagram you made up the determinations. Remember that Anenja Sappaya Sutta, Buddha said how to reach that. You know, this concentration, that these are the Mara's ones, that I am going out of this domain. I want to have the world, purified world, not having these defilements. I don't want to have the covetousness, ill will and the harming of those things. So what he was doing, he was applying these 32 parts of the body, looking at the 32 parts of the body, keep on applying it. That this hair of the body and so on. When the mind becomes so pure, you would actually see these parts, these 32 parts. In the sense, you can see your ribs, the skeleton. You can see that the how the flesh join the skeletons. They are really ugly. If you look at a cow, when you chop off, then you can see ribs and the flesh together, and the red, and sort of thing. If you are not a meat eater, you can see very carefully. Even if you are a meat eater, if you look at this thing, because the meat eaters might go into the thinking that I want to have a piece of it, right? But the other person who is sort of, he doesn't want to even look at it, you can see that this is really bad. When you meditation, when you see that, you feel so bad about yourself.
The person into the real nature.
Some real nature. You can see the back one and the front one over here, joined to the ribs, and in the middle you can see you can perceive different way. You can perceive without any heart and other things, only the skin. To the finest level you can see the skin, how the skin gets sort of this color as well with the blood and sort of thing. And so you should have the skill over here to do that. And refined into that level, now you apply that this is the foul nature, and you apply that Ananja Sappaya Sutta, that part, and together with this diagram, that is the determinations, you know, that this thing. And over here, remember we said, Buddha said that, I don't want to be in this. I don't want to have my eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and this sort of thing. These are defective ones. I want to have perfect ones. So I will wish, and I have determined my mind to go out of this and have that proper one. That means I am looking for a mind-made body. A mind-made body, then now you see this, my eye is sort of bad and I want to have a pure one. I have determined this eye, from this eye what I see. I'm looking at the sensual objects which are Mara's things. I don't want to have that one. So I'm happy to give up this one and for the attainment of that other world. So I want to have that, the pure divine eye, so that I go to have this eye, ear, nose, tongue, body. So each one of them you are actually removing. So carefully read these words. Buddha said, from this body he creates another, endowed with form, made of the mind, complete in all parts, not inferior in its faculties. The faculties should be there. And you can do this. If you are actually applying this diagram, and repeatedly applying, I mean, having applied the 32 parts, if you repeatedly apply, you have a mind-made body. It's there. You can go to Brahma world, and all those things can be done. And this is the trick. This is the trick to...
So you first make a mind-made body, and then form that in
another body. You are making a mind-made body with all the parts. So you have to make up all of them. You can't just make the eye only, but no others. So each one of them, you will see that this is bad. This one is bad. I want to have the body, the mind-made body with the ear. So you make it up from your mind, all of them.
Well, 32 parts.
Not 32 parts. We don't want those disgusting things. Minds, only six senses with the body. That body that you are making it up is like a, how do I explain, it's like a glass tube. For example, if you look at your leg, it's like a glass tube, nothing in it. But there is a body. That you have a body, you can make a huge body, I mean, depending on your level, you can make a six-story, seven-story body. I don't know how it is actually happening. It's like that.
What you do is that when you contemplate about the 32 parts of the body, you see the disgusting nature of that, and then you don't want it again. Is that right?
That's right. You don't want these ones because you know that the previous discussion says this is actually breaking, rubbing, and all those things, that this is body of this nature. So you apply your wisdom and you have these 32 parts that are these disgusting things, and I would prefer, I determine mine for Adhisthana over here to have going beyond these sense sphere things and have mind-made body.
How do you get that, how do you change it to that? I mean, you say that I don't want this.
Also you are saying I want that. I make up my mind.
It is, it is, to me, it is two sides of the coin. We have learned in our previous discussions, in the first part, in the first incorrect or wrong part,
yep,
what we cling to is this body.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, we get the birth. For in this life, so this birth. But now we realize that is the dirty thing and it's a crazy thing. Now we make, we understand all those things, and then we create mind, mind, body, which is a temporary thing, and we create perfect one by getting rid of these things. And then temporarily we make the mind, mind, body, which is a perfect one. And it is completely against what we had earlier. Is that right?
Against me?
Yeah, but how did you get that? You had to have a sort of a thinking.
Yes.
That I need this, you know?
Of course, there is. See the Buddha's word over here. Suppose I were to abide with the thought that is far-reaching, widespread, with a determined mind. Okay? Having overcome the world. That's the wording. So that means I have to think in the meditation. I'm telling you because I have done this. I have applying these 32 parts of the body, and you actually see this is disgusting sort of thing. Now I have the ability to get out of this one. And I apply this diagram again and again. Keep on applying that diagram. So then I go through repeatedly these circles. And I'm removing these lying, half-speech, frivolous talks. What holding you is those red ones on the bottom. What are they? The flood of sensual desire, kama yoga, the flood of existence, bhava yoga, the flood of views, ditti yoga, the flood of ignorance, avijja yoga. If you get rid of that one, because as soon as you go through these circles, they immediately remove these floods. So therefore that flow is not there anymore. So your mind is so pure, maintained.
The perfect being, be born, right?
Yes.
Whether it's the same or something.
Now what I ask is now, we came to this world because we were clinging to the sabhikaraha or the one. Now we realize the filthiness of that one, and we are going through this path, and we get rid of that desire for that one. And because of that, we will reach to we are making our mind, this is bad, and I am going to the Brahma world or perfect world. And so for which this Dhamma we discuss here would help me, will help us.
It is that, you know, the Metta Sutta. Nahijatu Gabba Sayyam Punareti. I don't want to go into the mother's womb anymore. So I want to have the Brahma thing. So after reaching that level, I don't want to be born. I don't want to be born in this world. I don't want to go to the mother's womb. I apply Anenja Sappaya Sutta. The first paragraph of that, you know, first and second paragraph of that one. So that's my method. I have determined my mind, I don't want to be here.
Particular verse of sense of the statement of the Buddha occurred to my mind. Anything to do with this? That means the person to be born is not the same, yes. Not you, neither anyone else.
That is beyond this discussion, in that sense that that you are now not thinking about making the mind made body or anything. You are going to get rid of that one as well. You don't want to make it anything. That you want to attain Nibbana comes easily.
Because seeking from mind made body is also craving, isn't it?
Well, this is your ability to do that one at that time. And why would you do that? If there is a purpose, my first purpose to make that one was to go to Akanita Brahma realm, to hear Dhamma. I didn't do any of these things to do that one. I attained certain stages. I had these burning questions to ask. So I made up my mind that I used to see them because I have a light. And then I want to go there and discuss Dhamma with these Arahants. So then I see that I am going there, and I see that I am landing on the land as well. I never made mind made body before, but today I made one in that sense, using this diagram. So when I, that means I determine my mind, my purpose is not anything else, it's learning pure Dhamma, for to have a discussion. So that is good enough. So you can, if you have that sort of a thing, you go there. Otherwise, why would waste? I'm not going there all the time. I'm going there if there is a burning question, burning things. That's what it is. I mean, the Arahants are not even making mind-made body all the time and do that one. If they want to do certain things, they want to travel, that only for that purpose.
So it's like you are getting what you are asking for, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
So this is not a path to get the Arahantship.
You get the Arahantship as well.
But it's not the only path, is it?
Well, this path over here, I'm not talking about the stopping at this mind-made body.
Yeah.
Okay, mind-made body is not even mentioned here. Mm-hmm. I'm saying by applying this one, you have the ability to go into this mind-made body at the level. That's what it is. And if you want to have the Arahantship, that means you are in the fourth line over here, fourth column. You keep on applying the Eightfold Path. Mm-hmm. And then you are there. That's what it is. Purifying. I think probably we stop for today, and this we have to go to the fourth part in this one next week. Yeah.